Today is the first day of January. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Welcome to what we lovingly call the Global Campfire. Welcome to the ship that will sail us through the year across the vastness of the open seas of life in a year, grounded, rooted daily in this rhythm of simply showing up. A rhythm that has been happening around here for quite a long time now. This is the 7,306th day in a row. The first day of the 21st year of the Global Campfire. So all of you who did your laundry yesterday, got off the old ship, did your laundry, grabbed a few things, and jumped back on today, welcome back. I'm so grateful. I did the same thing. I am so grateful to continue this relationship with the scriptures, this relationship with each other, and this journey, this never-ending journey of not just reading the Bible, but letting the Bible read us, a relationship with the scriptures that really, truly, actually does have the power to transform. So if this is your first day, gosh, it's so good to see you. Welcome. And if you're coming back and you've kind of been away maybe a year or 10, welcome back. So good to see you. Over the next few days, we will get moved in, right? We just jumped on and we're going for a year-long cruise. So we got to get moved in, right? Get unpacked, get settled in, understand the rhythm, and then go forward together. And so we'll be talking about that over the next few days. But right now, we're about to begin this adventure. And I greet you. And I am so grateful to be here with you. In a year where our word and our focus will be repair. And in a year where the Bible will touch everything about us if we will remain open to it. So no matter how you got here, no matter how life brought you here to today and to this moment and to this place, you are here. Welcome aboard.
Lately I've been reeling, watching the nightly news. Don't seem to find the rhythm, just wanna sing the blues. Feels like a song that never stops, feels like it's never gonna.
Gotta get that fire back in my bones before my heart turns into stone. So when somebody please pass the megaphone, I'll shout it on the count of three.
that joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay.
Okay, so we're launching in now to the scriptures, and we're also moving in. And so the way that we'll go about this journey is a bit from the Old Testament, a bit from the New Testament, some from the Psalms, and some from the Proverbs every day. And it will be amazing. There really isn't a day that goes by where something doesn't actually touch our lives where we live. But since this is day one, we're launching into four different sections of the Bible. That will be the book of Genesis, the book of Matthew, the book of Psalms, and the book of Proverbs. And every time we encounter a new book, we'll fly over it. We'll talk about what it is, what the territory is that we are going into, and what we can expect from it, and what the story is leading us to. And so we will be doing that over the next few days as we get moved in. We're about to begin the book of Genesis. And so our journey begins, as all must, at the start, or the way that the Bible begins, in the beginning. And so what we're about to read is an important first step, because knowing and understanding where we came from helps us understand how we got here and gives us context. And context is the key to understanding the Bible, and for that matter, to be able to understand our own life story. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Those are the words that we will read as we start this grand adventure. And in 1 year, like 1 year from now, when we dock back at these shores, we will have traveled many dusty miles. We will meet deeply fascinating people who some will become meaningful friends to us. These are our spiritual ancestors. And in their stories, our own hearts are going to be revealed. And so since we're at the beginning, let's orient ourselves to the territory that we will first encounter in the Old Testament. We consider the book of Genesis, probably the way that we understand it is, this is where the creation story is. Ironically, Genesis covers more time than any of the other books of the Bible does. And after the creation story that we're about to begin to read, 2,500 years will pass within its pages. That is more time than the whole remainder of the rest of the entire Old Testament combined. So within the first 11 chapters of Genesis, we're going to cover like a couple of millennia and a couple of thousand miles before the whole thing then slows down. And then we meet some people that we are going to focus on. Specific generations of people who fundamentally shape the rest of the Bible and the world and influence us until today. And in addition to that, Genesis is a part of a grouping of writings in the Bible. These encompass the first five books of the Bible. Those are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this grouping of books is called the Torah, or the Pentateuch. So on this first day, we will hear of God, and we will watch intentionality with who He is. We will learn that God is a creator, and we will see intentionality with His creation. Our human experience has been fashioned in God's own image, deriving its animating life source from the breath of God Himself. So we will see today, according to the scriptures anyway, we exist not by like mere chance, but by intention, which then means every one of us is supposed to be here. And we each bear the image of a God who is intertwined with our own life story, much deeper than we may realize, deeper even than our cells and atoms. And we will get a glimpse today of how things were always supposed to be for us. This is such a rare glimpse that lasts for such a short time. A perfect world with perfect people created in God's image. And when we think about our own life story, and when we look out and do a 360 and turn around and look at the world we live in today, and contrast that with the perfection of the beginning, we get a sobering sense of how this story has really turned over the millennia. But we'll get to all of that and understand all of that over the next few days. We'll be surprised over the next few days and for the rest of the year how often what we read in the Bible is going to not just give us like history or information or instruction or correction. It will be a mirror looking into our own hearts and our own motives. And we'll begin to understand that God is not a distant, uninterested being. He is deeply invested in the human story and deeply in love with what He has made. And that is us. So let's jump in. Genesis chapters 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And then He separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land, and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruits. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. An evening passed, and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created sea creatures, and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." An evening passed, and morning came, marking the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind: livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth, and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. An evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth. For the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruits. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed from the land of Eden, watering the garden and then dividing into four branches. The first branch, called the Pishon, flowed around the entire land of Havilah, where gold is found. The gold of that land is exceptionally pure. Aromatic resin and onyx stone are also found there. The second branch, called the Gihon, flowed around the entire land of Cush. The third branch, called the Tigris, flowed east of the land of Ashur. The fourth branch is called the Euphrates. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruits, you are sure to die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals, but still, there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. "At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." And the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Matthew 1:1-2:12. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus, the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the father of Abijah. Abijah was the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Jehoram. And Jehoram was the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Amon. Amon was the father of Josiah. Josiah was the father of Jehoiakim and his brothers, born at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the Babylonian exile, Jehoiakim was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abiud. Abiud was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Akim. Akim was the father of Eliud. Eliud was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar was the father of Matan. Matan was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. All those listed above include 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Psalm 1, Book 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Proverbs 1:1-6. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Father, we thank you for the scriptures, for your word, for the Bible, for this thing that knits our community together, the reason that we come together around the global campfire every day, to interact with, be challenged by, be comforted by, be corrected by the scriptures as a daily rhythm, as a spiritual discipline, as something that we commit to. We are as a community, and so we show up here and create the global campfire, a safe oasis in the chaos of life for each other. We show up for each other, and we show up for ourselves, inviting your Holy Spirit, as we will do most every day, because we need it every day to be led into all truth. We're not here for deception. We're not here for all the nuances. We're here for a lot of reasons. We have come to this point in our story, in our history, for lots of reasons. And we're around this global campfire for lots of reasons. But we did not come here to be lied to. We did not come here to be deceived. We did not come here to take our lives and throw it off in the deep end or throw it off the side of a cliff. We're not here to drive our lives into a brick wall. We're here to avoid these things, to learn to be wise, to learn the posture of hearts that is true humanity, and the posture of heart that will lead us on the path of safety and repair, that will lead us on the path of righteousness and restoration. And so this first day of this year, we are grateful. This first day of the 21st year of the Daily Audio Bible, we are grateful and thankful and deeply anticipating all that will come up, all that will happen. And we acknowledge right out here in front that sounds awesome. It's going to be just this great year, and it is. But it's not going to come without the scriptures touching everything and challenging everything that is false within us. We didn't come here to learn better strategies of how to hide and be false. We came here to learn how to walk into the light, unafraid and unashamed, and learn the ways of freedom. Because freedom isn't that we can do whatever we want. Freedom isn't that we can do whatever we want with whoever we want. Freedom is not that we can do whatever we want with whoever we want, whenever we want. Freedom in our lives is when we can walk into a day with nothing to hide, nothing to be exposed, because we are walking completely in the life, and we went through the fire and it burned us clean, purified us. So there will be days of significant challenge for us as the scripture does what it does, becomes a friend to walk alongside of us, but a friend who will look us directly in the eyes without flinching, without looking away, without hedging, without trying to people please us. It will simply look us in the face and tell us the truth and say, you are at a crossroads and you have a choice to make. This way will not go anywhere you want to go. And this way will lead you on the path to freedom. So may we pay attention and may we embrace the process of this year. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. This is where to get connected and be connected and stay connected. And we'll talk about, well, we're moving in. So we're going to talk about all the different facets of how this works over the next week. But this is kind of how the rhythm goes. This is kind of how a day might look as we engage. And so, welcome. Like I said at the beginning, if this is day one and you, like, this is the first time, like, you stumbled here, maybe last night, maybe the last week, maybe the last year has been a disaster for you. And at some point during the last week of the year, you just realize you cannot carry this anymore. You cannot do this anymore. And you are reaching for some kind of spirituality, some kind of direction. Reaching for God in some sort of way, whether you know how or not, just hoping that somehow something can give you hope, that can give you direction, that can give you clarity in some kind of way about what the next steps have to be. Welcome, if that's you. And I know that it's some of you. Welcome to day one of the rest of your life. And like I said at the beginning, if you have been away for a while and you've come back, welcome back. So glad you're here. And I pray that this is the best year of your life as we challenge ourselves. And if this is like you jumped off the ship and did your laundry and grabbed some toiletries and jumped back on and we're going around the sun again, welcome back again. I'm so grateful to be back on this journey again with you. Finished the 20th year yesterday, and man, that flattened me emotionally. Just like I knew that I could start again today fresh, but just realizing 20 years in a row, every single day, 7 days a week, it's impossible to imagine all that has happened in 20 years, and the best of the best has happened, and the most challenging, heart-wrenching things that I could have never seen coming have happened. And so, like, it's, that's probably the truth for you as well. Like, 20 years. I know that some of you here are on your first day and you're like, I'm not even 20. You're like, you know, I'm 21. I was 1 year old when this started. Yeah, I get that. I'm 25. I was 4. I get that. But we're all here and we're in all ages and stages. And this has been one of the most beautiful, this has been the most beautiful community I have ever seen in my life. Because we are far flung all over the world, and so we're not like all up in each other's business every day. And so we're not like creating alliances and all the gossip and slander that kind of comes with community. Sometimes we are and have been non-judgmental listeners who are willing to pray for each other, meet each other where we are, correct and challenge each other, but love each other deeply as the scriptures command us to do. And so welcome, however you got here, welcome. If it was last night was chaos and you woke up this morning not knowing where you were and who you were with, not knowing how you got there and feeling ashamed and feeling confused and reaching for God, or whatever reason, like however we got here, and we are underway now, and being underway is going to lead us on a path, and it will lead us on a path of truth, and as we will learn, it will lead us on a path that is narrow, not a wide highway that leads to destruction, but a narrow path that leads to life. And that, my friends, is the path we want to be on. And that path will lead us to change.
I feel a void. I sense that something needs to change. I dig inside. I know that all I need is you. I'm holding out a broken hand. Oh Lord, I've chosen my own way, and this leads to pain. You respond with so much grace. Lift my head and bring me strength. I can say I'm ready to